Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, staying the course. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance. Take note of these next few words here. The race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinners. Jesus, who endured such opposition for you and I, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You will not grow weary and you will not lose heart. Father, we thank you, Lord, because you've marked out a race for us. You've given us a course in which we should run, which we should walk, in which we should live. And you remind us and you challenge us to stay the course. The race that you have marked out for us, to stay within those barriers, oh God, that you have ordained for our lives, those steps ordered for our lives, oh Lord. You remind us this morning that you care for us so much that you've marked out every step of our lives, that if we would be submissive to it, we will always see your glory. So, Father, we pray that this word would speak into our heart, that the teaching this morning would speak into our heart, that it would resonate with us, that it would keep us awake at night until we submit to it, Lord. Father, I pray that you would open up my heart and my mind always to apply what you have spoken into our hearts first, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you would place an anointing upon me for your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Staying the course marked out for us. Now we know that God does not control every day, every hour, and every moment of our lives. We have what we call free will that allows us to make decisions. But we as people of faith believe that in our submission to God's will, in our submission to what God has called us for, if we submit to the way of life that he has for us, well, that submission takes us to the perfect course for our lives. It's when we are rebellious or function through the sinful nature or function through our weaknesses where we find ourselves outside of the will of God. But if we submit ourselves to God's perfect will for our lives, which is what? Submission to righteousness, to what is right, to what is just, to what is holy, to the fruits of the Spirit. If we submit ourselves to that, then every day we can be confident that we are living the life that has been marked out for us. And the church says. So it's interesting that this verse in chapter 12, verse 1, starts off with therefore, connecting us to chapter 11. Now, many of you know that chapter 11 is the chapter of the heroes of our faith, right? We got all the great heroes there. Now, I'm not going to go through all of chapter 11 because it's a long chapter and that would be a whole different sermon. But I would encourage you to read chapter 11 on your time, on your own time, and you're going to see all the heroes of our faith. And towards the end, it talks about others and what they did. And some names are not mentioned, but it talks about their great works. And it's interesting that the last verse, verse 40, finishes off this way. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together, us and the patriarchs, the heroes of our faith, only together with us would they be made perfect. There's a suggestion here. And the suggestion is that the list of heroes of faith is not finished yet. That God wants to add you and I to the heroes of faith. That he wants to add you and I to this list of people that have lived out the course marked out for them, the life marked out for them. And together we come together and we can fulfill God's perfect will. And it's interesting, On that list, you're going to find people that have had problems at home with their spouses, with their children, people who have fallen to the sinful nature. So you're going to find people of different ages and different genders. Men and women are on that list. So in this list of heroes of faith, you find a whole bunch of imperfect people just like me and just like you, but yet they make the list. And today, I want to remind you that God calls us to live the life in which he has ordained for us. And we are also called to be heroes of faith. And the church says, so we're called to stay the course, to live the life that we're called to live. We're called. There's a life that has been marked out for us. And again, that life is not, should I be here or should I be there? That life is how I should resemble Christ in my life every single day for the glory of the Father, which in itself reminds us of the perfect life for us. So staying the course means what? What do we mean by this? It means, in English terms, the life God has called us to live. It means living a consecrated life, embracing the gifts that God has placed in us and allowing God to use us through them. See, staying the course means prioritizing life correctly. God, family, church, and the things that follow. This is what staying the course means. It means trusting God for the big things and trusting God for the little things. And I love that the author of Hebrews uses a runner as an illustration to illustrate what he is trying to say. And he says, if we want to be successful at the race that has been marked out for us, we're going to need to run this race. We're going to need to know that there is a goal for us. We're going to have to persevere and push and know the result of it. So today I want to talk to you about how do I stay the course? How do I stay this course? How do we answer this question? Because we know that there's a course marked out for us. The scripture teaches us that. So how do we stay this course? How can we assure that at the end time our names are on the same list of heroes? People who have pleased God with their life. How can we do that? Well, the scripture that we read this morning gives us four teachings on how we can stay the course. The first one is, in verse 1, we see, throw off everything that hinders. Throw off everything that hinders. The New Living Translation says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Rid ourselves of the things that will hold us back. Get rid of the weight that we don't need. It's an interesting thought here. This has nothing to do with sin. This has to do with the things that we do that are no good for us. This has to do with the things that are not sin, but take us off the course or the life that is marked out for us. You see, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, you say, I'm not allowed to do anything. But not everything is good for you. You say, I'm not allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything is good for us. So we need to be careful. Just because it's not sin, that don't mean that we should always do it. Just because it doesn't offend God, it doesn't mean that it's the best thing for us. Maybe it's places that we go that, you know, oh, it's not a sin, but we know that coming here too much is really not good for me. Maybe it's people that we associate with. And, you know, and they're always in our house, or we're always in theirs. And they're not the people that are the best influences in our lives. And we're not the influencer, but they are the influencers. And we find ourselves not doing well because they're not the best thing for us. Maybe it has to do with particular jobs that we have. You know, sometimes, you know, I understand that we need to make some extra money. And I remember in my first years of marriage, there were seasons where maybe I had to do some extra overtime. And some overtime may have come even on a church day. And once in a while, we understand that those things have to happen. But if it's something that we do all the time, it eventually becomes no good for the race that has been marked out for us. You know, maybe it's something that we watch. And it's not a sin, but it's starting to consume. Have you ever been so wrapped up in a show that it begins to, like, you're laying in bed and you're thinking about that show? And it begins to consume your mind. And today and age, some of the stuff that's on regular TV, man, it's really consuming. It grabs our emotions. If my wife was here, she would laugh and maybe not be happy with me, what I'm about to say. But sometimes we're watching something and she's like into it, and I'll go, it's not real. And she's like, Carlo, if you do that, I'm not going to watch TV with you. And I go, I see you too engaged here. I just feel like I need to be the voice of reason. It's not real. All right? She's not going to be happy. FYI. Sometimes, though, we give our emotions, we give our time, and we give our energy to stuff, and it's not a sin, but it takes us away from the race that has been marked out for us. How many understand what I'm saying? So I want to encourage you. You know, as I was preparing the sermon, I was meditating. I said, Lord, what are some things with me that at times, I mean, because I'm very competitive, so sometimes we give our emotions into things, and you know, we get involved. I said, Lord, and I love the Lord. I let the Lord to just kind of minister our spirit. And some things popped in my mind that you know, I remember at times, you know, I give myself a lot to those things. And maybe the Lord is teaching us, it's not that it's a sin, but it's consuming our mind, our emotions. It's consuming our time, and then it begins to consume our efforts as well. You know, and I want to say that among these things, and I love that the verse reminds us, throw off everything that hinders, right? So again, it's not sin. Throw off everything that hinders. There are things in our life that hinder us. And maybe because of our different backgrounds, there may be things that are allowed for me that maybe are not good for you. And maybe there's some things that are okay for you, but because of my history, because of my struggles, they're not good for me. And we need to be mature, right? So we always talk about a gray area in the gospel. Well, you know, for believers, there should be no gray area. We need to know what's right for us and what's wrong for us. And you need to know what's right for you and what's wrong for you. And there's some things in scripture that we know are black and white. And we know that they're wrong. And if we rationalize them, it's because we've given ourselves too much time in the things that take us away from what has been marked out for us. But there is a gray area that we do understand, but it shouldn't be individualized. There should be no gray area for me. There should be no gray area for you. There is a holistic gray area, because there may be some things that are good for you that are not good for me, and some things that are okay for me that are not good for you. So we know that it exists, but individually there should be no gray area. I know what I can't do and what I shouldn't do and where I shouldn't be and who I shouldn't be with and the things I shouldn't say and the things I shouldn't watch. I know that line for me, and you should know it for you. And we must rid ourselves from anything that hinders our race that has been marked out for us. And the church says this. The church says, amen. Wilbur Chapman said this. He was an American pastor in the early 1900s. He said, the rule for my life is this. Anything that dims my vision for Christ or takes away my taste for Bible study or cramps me in my prayer life, or makes Christian work difficult, is wrong for me. And I must, as a Christian, turn away from it. So I want to encourage you to evaluate your life right now. Maybe you need to take a piece of paper out and say, what are some things? Maybe you need to sit with your wife tonight, or your friend tonight, or someone dear to you, or just you and the Holy Spirit. And say, what are some things in my life that I know that they may not be sin, but they're not good for me? And I need to take them out because they are hindering my walk. Throw everything that hinders off. And the church says, So if we want to walk the race that's marked out for us, we want to stay the course, the first thing we must do is throw everything off that hinders. The second thing is throw off the sin that so easily entangles us. Throw off the sin that so easily entangles. And I love that if you look at Hebrews chapter 1 in different versions, it says it different ways. King James uses the word beset, which means to attack on all sides. The New Living Translation says, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. The ESV says, sin that clings so closely. The Holman Bible says, the sin that ensnares us. The Greek word there has to do with surround us. So we need to throw off the sin that so easily surrounds us. When sin entangles us, it begins to affect every area of our life. You see, the goal of sin is to separate us from God. It removes us from the course that God has for us. It enslaves us. It enslaves us to the filth of the world. It enslaves us to depravity. It makes mockery out of our lives. Sin makes a mockery out of our lives. It begins to make a mockery of our home. It begins to make a mockery of our relationship, because where sin creeps in, it destroys and eventually brings to death. It affects how we live this life. Sin affects how we live this life, how we are compassionate towards others. Because of sin, we have a hard time forgiving. If we allow sin to reside, to entangle us, to surround us, we look at situations differently. We look at other weaknesses, and we look at weaknesses in our lives as strength. We have to be reminded, because when we tolerate sin, it begins to affect the way we rationalize, the way we think about things, what we allow, what we don't allow, how we encourage, how we don't encourage. When sin creeps into our lives, it affects our home, our children. It affects our private life and our public life. See, when sin creeps into our life, it ruins our commitment to righteousness. It ruins our commitment to what is just. When we allow sin to entangle us, we become liars and cheaters and manipulators. We compromise what is just and what is right. Our good judgment is affected. We begin to make poor decisions. And eventually, it will lead us to spiritual death. And I love that he uses a different word than the first part of the verse that talks about removing things that may not be sin. That's hinders. But this word is ensnare. It surrounds us. And we must see it as sin that surrounds us. It takes over every aspect of our life. We must identify it and recognize it. Why? Because it ruins every aspect of who we are. If you remember a time when you were lost in sin and you evaluated your life, you say, man, I did some bad things, some dumb things, some shameful things, some things that today I'm embarrassed of, some things of today that I wish I could wipe away from my mind. Why? Because sin ensnared us. How many thank God for Jesus? That he bought us out of that. He bought us out. We're no longer judged by our past, but we're judged by Christ, who now lives within us. Right? That is no longer who we are, but now we're called holy, sanctified. Why? Because Christ lives in our life. And when the Father God sees us, he don't see what we used to do, but he sees his perfect Son, Jesus Christ, living within us. And he says, oh, there is my child. There is my son. There is my daughter. Because he is dressed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ over their life. She is dressed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But we must remember that if we are not careful, sin will entangle us again. So what must we do? We must be careful. And we must identify our weaknesses. We must identify our sinful nature, identify the things that try to creep into our minds. And this morning in my prayer time, I was saying, Lord, when something comes into my mind that is not your will, disturb it within me. Something that could be an everyday thought, but it's the enemy trying to mislead me or make me function through something that's not your will. Stir it up within me so that we would know God, for we want nothing to do with his ways. We only want to live the way way that has been marked out for us. So we must identify our weaknesses and identify the things that we struggle with, and that we must ask the Lord to help us. And when we recognize our sin, we must repent from it. And repent always means turn from it. We must turn from it. We must stop, and we must walk the other way. We must place barriers around us that would help us from being enslaved in sin. We must put barriers, whether a people of accountability, whether faithful to our discipline, removing things from our lives. We must put barriers within our lives to help us. We must focus on our spiritual disciplines and commit to what is right. For if we do, we'll be able to throw everything that so easily entangles us off. The sin that easily entangles us. We must understand that God has marked out a course for us, and sin is the only thing that will lead us a different way. And the church says, so how do we stay the course? Throw off everything that hinders. Two, the sin that so easily entangles us. And our third point this morning is run with perseverance the race marked out for us. New Living Translation says, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Persevere. I think that this is the hardest part for many people. See, everybody starts off good. Everybody has an aha moment. Everybody has an altar moment. Everybody says, that's me. You know, I'm there, I need. Everybody has them. They come to church, they feel an impact. And then, you know, after a month or 6 weeks or 2 months or 3 months, they start kind of trickling back into their old ways. Well, those people will never make the list. You see, because to stay in the course that has been marked out for us, we must run with perseverance. And your Bible may say patience, but it's the same word, perseverance. We must run with perseverance. We must stay faithful. It's not for 1 week or 1 month or 1 year, but this is a lifetime. If we want to stay the course, we must persevere. We must push through high times and through low times. And this is Bible language for us. We know it well. Fight the good fight of the faith. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Right? Paul writes in Galatians, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. We remember what Hebrews says in 10:36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And we can bring you other verses that remind us of perseverance. This is a lifetime. This is longevity. If you look at the people in our church, and I say this with a lot of humility and fear, but the people in our church who have had success in their walk with God, they'll tell you, it's because of longevity. It's because of longevity. They've had their success in their faith. It's because of longevity. If we come in and go out and come in and go out, we will be in this circle of depravity that always has us in the same mess, that always has us in the same ruin, that always has us in the same condition, that always has us in the same place, because it's in and out, it's in and out. There's no perseverance, there's no endurance, and we never get to enjoy the promises that God has for us. I want to remind you here today, if we want to stay the course, we must persevere in the race that has been marked out for us. That means that we have to be faithful to what is right, be faithful to what is just, be faithful to what God has called us for, be faithful to holy and righteous living. No matter how sacrificial it may be for us at the moment, the reward is at hand. We must set our mind on persevering if we're going to stay the course. We're not of those that shrink back. We're not of those that only do good when things are easy. No, we understand that in highs and lows, we must stay the same. There are some, when things are going well, they're good, but when they get discouraged, they're out again. No, we're called to persevere. I love how Paul writes it in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. That's the teaching there. Has nothing to do with the prize. It's the perseverance. Run in such a way. Live in such a way as to get the prize. I want to encourage you today. Run with perseverance, consistency. It's not about speed, but it's about finishing. It's about finishing. It means not to stop when we're feeling tired or feeling discouraged. It means to be determined in all seasons of your life. It means to live the life that God has called you to live. We do understand that there'll be highs and lows, and there'll be times of failures and time to get back up again. God has allowed it for that in the course. He has allowed for ups and downs. He has allowed for bad moments. He has allowed for failures. That's what we call grace. But we get back up again and we continue to persevere. We don't abandon the call. We don't abandon the course. We don't abandon the race that has been marked out for us. Our eyes are fixed on Jesus. So it means not stopping for hardship or not stopping for failure. We need to remove people from our lives that hinder our walk with Him, and we need to understand that we will do it because God has called us to do it. And when someone discourages you, it's not an excuse to leave the church. It's not an excuse to abandon the faith. When someone doesn't agree with you, it's not an excuse to abandon the faith. You keep moving because we cannot give anyone that type of influence over our lives. It means to continue to persevere even when things don't go your way. You didn't get the job that you wanted. You didn't get the house that you wanted. You didn't marry the girl that you wanted to. You didn't marry the man that you wanted to. You're not seeing some of the things that you desire in your heart. You continue to persevere because your race, your course has been marked out for you. And your job is perseverance. Your job is to continue to run that race. Stay the course. If we're going to see God's blessings, we need to persevere and stay the course. It's easy to give up. It's easy to say, ya basta, enough is enough. It's easy to throw in the towel. I want to encourage you this morning. You may be going through a hard time and there may be a spirit of discouragement trying to discourage you. You continue to run the race. I love what the author of Hebrews says. He says, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. That's who we belong to. So this morning we're talking about staying the course. Four things that we must do. The first one is, we must throw off everything that hinders. Second, and the sin that so easily entangles. And the third thing is, we must persevere, run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. And our last point this morning is, fix our eyes on Jesus. Right? Verse 2 tells us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I love that the New Living Translation says, the champion who initiates the perfect faith. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And I love that translation says it that way. I think it's really cool. If we make our walk of faith anything else but Jesus, we're in trouble. If you make it anything else but Jesus, we're in trouble. The race that has been marked out for us is to give Jesus the glory, is to give the Father the glory, is to live the life in which He has called us to live. People get distracted. They come a long way and they do well, but then they take their eyes off Christ. Sometimes our situation provokes us to take our eyes off Christ and onto situations. But I want to tell you, you need to keep your eyes on Christ. Sometimes we put our eyes on our trials, on our discouragement, on sickness. We put our eyes on betrayal, on abandonment. We put our eyes on our current circumstances because it overwhelms us and we understand that it's overwhelming. But in the midst of that emotional overwhelming that is occurring in our life, we must push through it and keep our eyes on Jesus. Don't make this life that has been marked out for you anything else than God's goal for your life. A race marked out for you. Today and age, we see people putting their eyes on churches. Churches will fail you. Pastors will fail you. People will fail you. Leaders will fail you. Those around you will fail you. Spouses will fail you. We do not put our eyes on those people. We put our eyes on Christ. And through that, we learn to love and bless and forgive and help us through all those that God has put in our life. Because it's through Christ that flows this river of strength and grace and hope and forgiveness. It flows through Christ. So as we put our eyes on Christ, what we receive from him is enough to help us in every battle that we have. Don't put your eyes on anything else. Some people put their eyes on success. And they think money or fame or ministerial success is good. And they put their eyes on that. And when they no longer have that, it alters their life. That means that they didn't have their life on Christ. They had their life on something else. Be careful. Be careful. Don't put your eyes on rules or regulations. Some people put their eyes, they make their faith about rules and regulations. And the race that is marked out for us has nothing to do with rules and regulations. It has to do embracing the grace of God upon our life and living the life that he has ordained for our lives. But when we put our life, when we put our focus on rules and regulations, when we fail at the rules, we're completely and utterly destroyed. I want to encourage you today. Your focus needs to be on Christ. Why? Because he's sovereign. He's powerful. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He can help us in every circumstance. He can give us strength for every situation. He knows what we need, and he knows what we don't need. He knows what we can handle, and he knows what we cannot handle. And the race that is marked out for us is one that he has marked out personally for our lives. And he allows, and he gives, and he helps according to our current condition. And because we stay focused on him, we always get exactly what we need to get through the situation and the circumstance of our lives. So I want to remind you today, put your eyes only on Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. So as I conclude today's sermon, and we're talking about staying the course, I want to remind you today that the list is not finished. The heroes of faith, the list is not finished. You and I are called to be people of faith, to be heroes of faith as well. Your life is a part of God's plan. Your life is a part of God's plan for redemption. It is as if Christ is making his reconciliation through us. That means that he is using us. Our lives is a life to give God glory. And I want to encourage you today, stay the course. Live the life that God has called you. And how will you do that? Throw off everything that hinders. Evaluate your life tonight. What is it in my life that I know I need to make some changes? I know it's consuming too much. For some ministers, that could even be ministry. Be careful. What is it in our lives that is consuming so much that I'm off the mark? I'm off the course. Throw off the sin that so easily entangles us. What is it in our life that we know is not pleasing God? And it's creeping into every aspect of our life and is messing us up. It's time to throw off the sin that so easily entangles us. Don't give up. Run the race that has been marked out for you. Persevere. Push through it. And fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of your faith. He will get you through it. You will receive all that you need in life through your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because it's through our relationship with Jesus Christ that gets us to the Father. He is the door that opens up the room that allows us to abide with the Father. And it's in the room with the Father where we receive all the grace that we need, all the mercy that we need for life today. So I want to encourage you, stay the course. Because if you do, your life is going to be a blessing to many. And the church says, amen. I want to invite you to stand this morning. And let us pray together. Father, we thank you for the teaching of your word, for it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It leads us every single day. Without it, we're lost. Without it, we're lost. It is our compass of life, your word. So today we're reminded what the author of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 12, that we have a life that has been marked out for us, a life that you want for us, that you have ordained for us. And we know, Lord God, that there is a constant battle, a constant battle that tries to take us off the course that you have for us. And sometimes it comes through things of this world that they are presented as not sinful, but their very origin comes from our enemy to destroy us, to mislead us. Father, help us to recognize those things. And Father, the other things that we have allowed in our lives that are things of the sinful nature, and they're controlling us. And they're creeping into every aspect of our lives and altering how we live. Help us, Lord, to release ourselves from those things, to find your grace that helps us. Lord, help us not to be of those that shrink back when hard times come, but that we would persevere. Push. That we would not give up, that we would not be so vulnerable and so weak in circumstances, that we would understand that in our weaknesses you are strong and you help us, oh God. And that we would not make our faith, our course, anything else but Jesus, the race that he has marked out for us. So if we keep our eyes on him, he knows what he's doing in our lives. He knows where he's leading us. He knows where he's guiding us. And because of that, the end result is always good. Help us, Lord, to embrace the teaching of your word that we may stay the course. We pray in Jesus' name. And the church says, if you're here today and the Lord is ministering to you and you would like prayer just to help you apply the word to your life as we sing this next song, the altar is open. If you're here today and you are far from God, that means you haven't asked Jesus into your heart. You haven't said, Jesus, would you become the Lord of my life? And that happens through a simple prayer of confessing our sins and saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Today I ask you to be the Lord of my life, to enter into my heart. And that day he enters into your heart, and the Bible says that your name is written in the book of life, and he cares for your soul. And that moment you are redeemed. That means you're bought out of slavery to sin, and now you become a slave to Christ, and you're called to live the life that Christ has called you to live. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I've been living my own course, and it's taken me through a life of hurt and shame and pain and abandonment and loneliness and isolation and brokenness. And today I'm hearing that someone wants to rescue me, and he has ordained my steps, set out a course that brings him glory and honor and helps me every single day. Well, today is the day of salvation for you. As we sing this next song, I also invite you to come to the altar. We want to say a prayer with you, a prayer that will change your life forever. As we sing this next song, the altar is open.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.